Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News. Good morning, I'm Ed Donahue. Stocks were mixed in Asian trading. The markets are down in Europe. It's all over uncertainty about what President Trump will do about tariffs. On board Air Force One overnight, the president said tariffs are going to be the greatest thing ever done as a country and are going to make the U.S. rich again.
We're basically going to take back the money, a lot of the money that we've given away over many decades. We've lost our jobs. We've lost our factories. We've lost 90,000 factories since the beginning of NAFTA.
Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick said on NBC's Meet the Press, 25% tariffs on steel and aluminum imports will take effect Wednesday. In Canada, the ruling Liberal Party voted in a landslide to replace Justin Trudeau as prime minister with former central banker Mark Carney. Carney plans to take on Trudeau's fight against American tariffs.
The Canadian government has rightly retaliated
and is rightly retaliating
with our own tariffs that will have maximum impact.
Cela aura une incidence importante aux États-Unis, avec peu de répercussions ici au Canada. Nous maintiendrons ces tarifs jusqu'à ce que les Américains.
Carney also said Canada will not be the 51st state, as President Trump has mentioned. Saudi Arabia will be hosting talks this week between the U.S. and Ukraine after an argument erupted during President Volodymyr Zelensky's visit last month to the White House. Zelensky plans to visit Saudi Arabia today ahead of the talks. Israel has cut off the electricity supply to Gaza. The move has affected a desalinization plant producing drinking water for part of the territory. Authorities in the Dominican Republic are searching for a 20-year-old University of Pittsburgh student who went missing in a popular tourist town while on vacation. Sudiksha Kanaki was last seen before dawn Thursday at a beach near a resort where she was staying with several friends. This is AP News.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
North Korea has fired several ballistic missiles.
The launch on Monday happened hours after South Korean and U.S. troops kicked off their large annual combined military drills, which the North views as an invasion rehearsal. South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff said the missile firings, North Korea's fifth event this year, were detected from the North's Hwange province, but gave no further details such as how far they flew. Earlier Monday, exercises began after the North Korean and US militaries paused live fire training, while Seoul investigated how two of its fighter jets mistakenly bombed a civilian area during a warm-up drill last week. I'm Charles Diledesma.
Actress Emily Osment has filed for divorce from her husband of less than 5 months, musician Jack Farina. Osment is the star of the TV series Georgie and Mandy's First Marriage. She and Farina were married in October. I'm Ed Donahue, AP News.
ICE arrests a prominent Palestinian activist who was a leader of last spring's protests at Columbia University. Mahmoud Khalil graduated in December. His wife, who was 8 months pregnant and a U.S. citizen, says authorities did not explain why he was being detained. His lawyer says he was arrested by agents who said they were acting on a State Department order to revoke his student visa. When he told them he had a green card, they said they were revoking that. The Department of Homeland Security describes the arrest as being in support of President Trump's executive orders prohibiting anti-Semitism. Khalil's arrest is the first publicly known deportation effort under Trump's promised crackdown on students protesting the war in Gaza. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem announcing new immigration enforcement leadership and pledging to step up lie detector tests on employees to identify those who may be leaking information about immigration operations to the media. She says they've ID'd two leakers and plan to prosecute. Meanwhile, Todd Lyons is the new acting ICE director. He was the former assistant director of field operations. Madison Sheehan, who was Noem's aide when she was governor, will be acting deputy director. The previous acting director was reassigned in February, with White House officials expressing frustration with the pace of deportations. Some residents of rural Illinois and Oregon are hoping to ditch their states and either join neighboring ones or create whole new states. Proponents say the big liberal cities of Chicago and Portland, Oregon, have all the political clout and that their politicians stifle rural voices. Interest in redrawing state lines to join some parts of Illinois with neighboring Indiana and connect some of Oregon's borderlands to Idaho have picked up a bit of momentum over time, including with voters. But the U.S. hasn't seen a major realignment of state boundaries since West Virginia left Virginia during the Civil War to remain in the Union. I'm Julie Walker.
Most of the 80,000 Health and Human Services workers who administer Medicare and Medicaid, research diseases, and inspect food have been emailed an offer to leave their jobs for as much as $25,000. Employees have until 5 p.m. Friday to submit a response to the so-called voluntary separation offer. HHS is one of the federal government's costliest federal agencies, with an annual budget of about $1.7 trillion, and it includes the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the National Institutes of Health, and the Food and Drug Administration. Most of the $1.7 trillion is spent on health care coverage for the millions of people enrolled in Medicare and Medicaid. Authorities say an armed man near the White House was shot and wounded by Secret Service agents in an early Sunday confrontation. Secret Service agents received a report from local police about a suicidal individual who was traveling from Indiana, and found the man's car and a person matching his description nearby. The Secret Service says the man pulled out a weapon as officers approached, and they shot him. The man is in the hospital, and his condition is unknown. President Donald Trump has been in Florida over the weekend. Donna Water, Washington.
Pro-Palestinian activists vandalized President Trump's golf resort in Scotland in response to his proposal to empty the Gaza Strip of its Palestinian population. Photos and video on social media show the sign, "Gaza is not for sale," painted in giant white letters on the lawn of Trump's Turnberry Golf Course and Hotel. Red spray paint was on the club's exterior wall as well as other areas of the complex, and some of the green was dug up. The group Palestine Action says in a statement it rejects Trump's treatment of Gaza as though it were his property to dispose of as he likes. To make that clear, we have shown him that his property is not safe from acts of resistance. Police in Scotland are investigating. Trump has called for Gaza's population to be permanently resettled elsewhere so the U.S. can take over and develop it for others. I'm Julie Walker.
The House GOP have unveiled a 99-page spending bill to keep federal agencies funded through the end of September. The bill would give a slight boost to defense spending and trim non-defense programs below their 2024 budget levels. That's likely a non-starter for most Democrats, but Congress must act by midnight Friday to avoid a partial government shutdown. House Speaker Mike Johnson is gearing up for a Tuesday vote on the bill, and he's essentially daring Democrats to vote against it and risk a shutdown. President Donald Trump is praising the bill, writing on X that Republicans have to remain united, no dissent. Top Democrats on the House and Senate Appropriations Committees say they strongly oppose the continuing resolution and that it would give Trump and Elon Musk more power over federal spending, which, quote, threatens families in blue and red states alike, end quote. A group of labor unions filed a motion for emergency relief late Friday in federal court in Maryland, asking the court to block the Department of Government Efficiency's access to the personal information of Americans held by the Social Security Administration. Included in the filing is an affidavit from a former senior official at the agency who says career civil servants are trying to protect the personal information from DOGE. Tiffany Flick says, "A disregard for our careful privacy systems and processes now threatens the security the data SSA houses about millions of Americans." A lawyer for the unions says DOGE is essentially swooping in and bullying their way into access to millions of Americans' private data, and they can't explain why they want the information. DOGE already has access to government databases at the Treasury and the IRS. Fort Bragg, named in honor of Confederate General Braxton Bragg, was renamed Fort Liberty in 2023 during a drive to remove symbols of the Confederacy from public spaces. Now the North Carolina Army installation is back to Fort Bragg, but it's in honor of someone else named Bragg.
Fort Bragg is a place where ordinary people transform into heroes. Ordinary people like Private First Class Roland L. Bragg.
Army Private First Class Roland L. Bragg was a World War II paratrooper and a Silver Star recipient from Maine. Diane Watts is his daughter.
I think that they looked for a man of good character, and they found my dad.
Retired Green Beret Major Al Woodall is happy with the name Bragg.
It's rising from the ashes again, so I made a point on the 7th of March, I was going to return to Fort Bragg or come back to Fort Bragg to make sure that it's done back the way it should be.
I'm Donna Warder.
The Trump administration says it is pulling $400 million from Columbia University. Multiple federal agencies announced that they are canceling grants and contracts because of what the government describes as the Ivy League school's lackluster efforts to squelch anti-Semitism on campus. Before the announcement, Columbia was ramping up its own investigations into students critical of Israel, alarming free speech advocates. Nonetheless, Federal Education Secretary Linda McMahon says Columbia has abandoned its obligation to Jewish students. Columbia is vowing to work with the government to try to get the money back. As the Trump administration works to close Social Security field offices, the acting head of the Social Security Administration has rescinded and apologized for an order that would have required Maine parents to register their newborns for Social Security numbers at a federal office rather than at the hospital. The order drew widespread condemnation from medical organizations and public officials who described it as unnecessary and punitive. The practice of allowing parents to register a newborn for a Social Security number at a hospital or other birthing site, called the Enumeration at Birth Program, has been common for decades. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
At a U.S. monetary policy forum in New York Friday, Fed Chair Jerome Powell said the overall economy is doing well.
Despite elevated levels of uncertainty, the U.S. economy continues to be in a good place. The labor market is solid, and inflation has moved closer to our 2% longer-run goal.
But Powell says the Fed's key interest rate is likely to remain unchanged in the coming months.
The new administration is in the process of implementing significant policy changes in four distinct areas: trade, immigration, fiscal policy, and regulation. It is the net effect of these policy changes that will matter for the economy and for the path of monetary policy.
Most economists say that President Donald Trump's plans to place tariffs on various imports from Canada and Mexico will increase prices and slow growth. But many also expect that tax cuts and deregulation could boost the economy. I'm Donna Warder.
I'm Seth Sutel, and this is the AP Markets Report. Stocks closed higher on Wall Street after careening through another wild day. The S&P 500 climbed 0.6% Friday after erasing an earlier loss of more than 1%. Markets have been whipsawed this week because of worries about the economy and uncertainty about what President Donald Trump will or won't do with tariffs. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 222 points. It's about 0.5%. The Nasdaq Composite climbed 0.7%. Treasury yields ended higher in the bond market after Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell said the economy looks strong enough to wait before the Fed makes its next move on interest rates. Seth Sutel, New York.
A 14-year-old shot and killed a police officer in Newark, New Jersey, according to authorities, and wounded another Friday evening. Authorities say the officer, 25-year-old Joseph Escana, didn't even have a chance to get out of his car before he was shot. Newark Mayor Roz Baraka calls it a
heinous, callous disregard for humanity,
and says more needs to be done to keep guns off the street.
What's sad that a 14-year-old could get their hands on an automatic weapon. What's sad that a 14-year-old would think that they should shoot at a police officer.
Officials say the officers were investigating illegal weapons when the shootout happened. Five people were taken into custody, including the 14-year-old who was wounded. He's charged with murder and possession of illegal weapons. Audio courtesy WABC. I'm Julie Walker.
A South Carolina man has been executed by firing squad, becoming the first U.S. prisoner in 15 years to die by that method. Brad Sigmund was pronounced dead at 6:08 p.m. Friday after becoming the first U.S. prisoner in 15 years to die by firing squad. Sigmund was shot by three prison employee volunteers with rifles. Sigmund killed his ex-girlfriend's parents with a baseball bat in their Greenville County home in 2001 in a botched plot to kidnap their daughter. The 67-year-old chose the firing squad because his lawyer said he considered it a better option than the electric chair or lethal injection. Sigmund is the first South Carolina prisoner to be executed by bullets. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Texas state health officials say the historic measles outbreak in West Texas has reached nearly 200 cases. In neighboring New Mexico, the number of cases has tripled to 30. Most of the cases across both states are in people younger than 18 and people who are unvaccinated or have an unknown vaccination status. Last week, a school-aged child died of measles in Texas, the nation's first measles death in a decade. New Mexico health officials say they are investigating a possible adult measles death. The CDC says it has also confirmed measles cases in New York City and 9 other states. I'm Mike Hempen.
Investigators say they've determined how actor Gene Hackman and his wife died. Dr. Heather Jarrell is New Mexico's chief medical examiner.
The cause of death for Mr. Gene Hackman, aged 95 years, is hypertensive and atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease, with Alzheimer's disease as a significant contributory factor. The cause of death for Ms. Betsy Hackman, aged 65 years, is hantavirus pulmonary syndrome. The manner of death is natural.
Investigators say Hackman died a full week after his wife, but may not have been aware of his wife's death because of his Alzheimer's. The couple's bodies were discovered February 26th in their New Mexico home. One of the couple's dogs also was found dead in a crate in a bathroom. A veterinarian says a necropsy will be done on the dog. Dwayne Wiggins, a founding member of the Grammy-nominated group Tony, has died at age 64 following a battle with bladder cancer over the past year. That's according to a statement released by his family on social media. Wiggins was a vocalist and bass guitarist for the group, and he, his brother Raphael Sadiq, and their cousin Christian Riley burst onto the music scene in 1988. They were known for the classic songs Anniversary and It Never Rains in Southern California. Dwayne Wiggins, dead at 64. I'm Donna Warder.
AP Sports, I'm Gethin Coolbaugh. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scored 40 to help the Thunder rout the Nuggets 127-103 in a battle of Western Conference powerhouses.
It's like what you get out of bed for as a competitor, as a basketball player. Adds a little bit more pop and excitement to the games.
NFL MVP and Bills quarterback Josh Allen was rewarded with a contract extension worth $330 million, with an NFL record $250 million of it guaranteed. Buffalo is also releasing 3-time All-Pro edge rusher Von Miller. Elsewhere, the Browns made 4-time All-Pro edge rusher Myles Garrett the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history, with an average of $40 million and $204.8 million over 4 years. The Seahawks traded 2-time Pro Bowl receiver DK Metcalf to the Steelers, and 3-time All-Pro receiver Devontae Adams is signing with the Rams for 2 years and $46 million. The Commanders have released 2-time Pro Bowl defensive tackle Jonathan Allen. The move Friday comes less than 2 weeks since they gave Allen's camp permission to talk to other teams around the NFL about a potential trade. There was no guaranteed money owed to the 30-year-old veteran going into the final season of his contract. That made him a candidate to be released to save the Commanders roughly $20 million against the salary cap. Releasing Allen comes a day after they agreed to terms with 6-time All-Pro linebacker Bobby Wagner on a contract for next season. NHL, Alex Ovechkin scored his 886th career goal to move within 8 of Wayne Gretzky's all-time record. NC State has fired men's basketball coach Kevin Keats, and Russell Henley won the Arnold Palmer Invitational by one stroke. LeBron James believes the sky is the limit for his new-look Lakers.
We could compete versus anyone in this league.
Despite a 111-101 loss against the rival Celtics to snap a season-best 8-game winning streak, James tells the Associated Press that LA is capable of winning a title, but has work to do to catch up to last year's champions.
We'll be fine. We got to continue to build our habits, though. We're not where they are. He's a defending champion. And they've been playing basketball together for a long time.
The NBA's all-time leading scorer says it will take time for the team to find its rhythm with new superstar teammate Luka Doncic.
We made an acquisition late in the season, and we're still trying to build. And you know, we want to get full. That's the number one objective for us.
The Southeastern Conference has fined Ole Miss $500,000 for violating league policy that prohibits fans from storming courts. The Powerhouse Conference also says it needs to consider reducing or eliminating future penalties if a school does its part to adjust fan behavior and then is ignored by a small group. A small number of fans rushed the court following the Rebels' 78-76 victory over number 4 Tennessee on Wednesday. It was the third offense for Ole Miss, which was fined $100,000 in 2023 and $250,000 in 2024. Mikko Rantanen is heading back to the Western Conference, and the Stars paid a big price in both money and assets in agreeing to acquire the prolific playoff performer in a deal with the Hurricanes, per an AP source. Elsewhere, the Bruins traded captain and forward Brad Marchand to the defending Stanley Cup champion Panthers, according to multiple reports. The Stars' Central Division rival Jets added Brandon Tanev and Luke Shen in separate deals. Ottawa acquired Dylan Cousins in a four-player trade with Buffalo. I'm Geffen Coolbaugh.
The Federal Securities Service, or FSB, says in a statement quoted by the state news agency RIA Novosti, the two diplomats engaged in intelligence and subversive activities that threatened Russia's security. There was no immediate comment from the UK authorities, according to the report. A decision had been made to revoke the diplomats' accreditations, and they'd been ordered to leave Russia within 2 weeks. The FSB last September accused 6 British diplomats of spying and announced a decision to expel them. The UK responded last month by expelling 1 Russian diplomat.
Due to an industrial strike,
travellers were left stranded making alternative plans after a one-day strike by workers at many airports, including the Frankfurt and Munich hubs, caused the cancellation of most flights on Monday. The 24-hour walkout, which started at midnight, involves public sector employees at the airports, as well as ground and security staff. The warning strike, as it's called, a common tactic in German wage negotiations, relates to 2 separate disputes: negotiations on a new pay and conditions contract for airport security workers and a wider dispute over pay for employees of federal and municipal governments. I'm Charles Delatasma.
Pope Francis continues his recovery from double pneumonia after doctors reported some positive news Saturday. After more than 3 weeks in the hospital, the 88-year-old is responding well to treatment and has shown a gradual slight improvement in recent days. In an early Sunday update, the Vatican says Francis was resting after a quiet night. For the 4th Sunday in a row, the Pope did not appear for his weekly noon blessing, instead issuing a message thanking volunteers for the miracle of tenderness they offer the sick, also thanking all those who were caring for him. Iran's supreme leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei says he rejects a U.S. push for talks between the two countries because they would be aimed at imposing restrictions on Iranian missile range and its regional influence. Speaking to a group of officials Saturday, Khamenei did not identify the U.S. by name, but said a bullying government was persistent in its push for holding talks. His remarks came a day after President Trump acknowledged sending a letter to Iran seeking a new deal with the country to restrain its rapidly advancing nuclear program and replace the nuclear deal he withdrew America from during his first term in office. A crowd gathering around the Palace of Westminster in London, where a barefoot man holding a Palestinian flag climbed up Big Ben, the famous clock tower, on Saturday. Some on the street heard yelling words of support. Police blocking off the area, they had to close Westminster Bridge and cancel parliamentary tours. Emergency workers were raised up on a fire truck ladder and were using a megaphone to negotiate with the protester, who was on the ledge of Big Ben. Foreign ministers from Muslim nations are rejecting calls by President Trump to empty the Gaza Strip of its Palestinian population and instead backing a plan by Egypt for an administrative committee of Palestinians to govern the territory to allow reconstruction. Foreign ministers are gathering for a special session of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, which includes 57 nations. The OIC also reinstated Syria as a member of the grouping. This all comes when the 7-week-old ceasefire between Israel and Hamas has been thrown into doubt, with Israel balking at entering negotiations over the terms of a second phase of the deal. I'm Julie Walker.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.